ding ding.
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight, it's the host of Fast Break Breakfast and Grits and Grind, a show about the Memphis Grizzlies, Keith Parrish. Keith, what's up?
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. Glad to fill in.
Yes. Man, I would love to have Keith Parrish fill in on every podcast I do. I'll tell you that. You got to go listen to Keith. If you're not listening to Grits and Grind, first of all, go do it, because the Grizzlies are delightful and it's a delightful show. So go do that.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, I would say, Andrew, to podcast with you. The last time I podcasted with you, the Grizzlies went on a 7-game win streak. So Since then, things have been going pretty good in Grizzlies land. So
here we go.
I don't know what's going to happen after this one, but I assume it's going to be good for me.
Well, let's start at MSG tonight, where the Nets make a furious comeback to beat the Knicks 110-98. Keith, these poor Knicks. These poor Knicks fans, they're just trying to have a fun night of basketball in their city. You got RJ Barrett playing well, Alec Burks doing his stuff, Jericho Sims throwing bullet passes to Obi Toppin in the corner. Like, you're feeling real good. And then the third quarter hits, and it's Kevin Durant time.
I give the Knicks a lot of credit for not packing it in on the season. Like some other teams, they're going for wins. They're trying to compete. They had the Nets on the ropes.
They did.
The Nets are struggling in this play-in seeding battle. A couple days ago, they were in 10th. Things were looking good. Like, all right, we got the Knicks. The Knicks have nothing to play for. We can take care of business. And the Nets find themselves down by 21. Mm-hmm. That's a huge story. But alas, the Knicks rotation was about 7 deep, and they kind of ran out of gas. I don't know if those things there's a correlation there. But yeah, the third quarter happened. The fourth quarter was even worse. I believe it was 38-16 in favor of the Nets in the fourth quarter. Yeah. The poor Knicks only managed 31 second half points, and the Nets escape with a very extremely important victory from them.
Very important. This could have been the difference of having to win one or two games in the play-in tournament, which is a giant thing. When it's just a one-game deal, anything can happen, especially when we're talking about playing, and we're going to talk about him later. You play Trae Young, you play LaMelo. Anything can happen in one game.
Well, I would say specifically, yes, that statement holds true for most NBA teams, but it feels particularly true for a team like the Hornets and the Hawks, who can hit 23s on any night, and if you hit 23s, you win. So that one-game playoff aspect of it feels even more volatile with such powerful offensive teams like Charlotte and Atlanta.
Yeah, speaking of threes, Patty Mills was back tonight, back from the dead. He had 5 threes off the bench. Getting Seth Curry back is huge for this team. Not only is he somebody who spaces the floor, that he's going to hit threes, but he's also somebody that can take a little bit of the ball handling duties. They've had Dragic out, they've had Curry out, so it's the offensive flow felt a little bit better tonight for the Nets in the second half.
I'm not like super confident in the Nets, and I know all the caveats if they have KD and Kyrie. I don't honestly feel like the teams at the top of the East are that worried about the Nets. I don't know how you can be. Ben Simmons is not coming back. This team is so shallow. Their depth is so poor. And yeah, like, all right, if Seth Curry and Patty Mills are knocking down shots, sure, they can put a scare in a team maybe for a couple games. But the idea of maybe them putting it all together for multiple games, I'm a bit dubious, a little bit skeptical.
Keith, it's play-in night on the Daily Ding. So let's move on to Atlanta, where the Hawks beat the Wizards 118-103. Kind of a close game up until about 6 minutes left in the third quarter. I think it was like 76-70. And then Trae Young just goes ballistic. He scores 16 of the Hawks' final 18 points in the period. He stretched their lead to 95-83, and that kind of felt like that was it.
He is putting in, I think, a slightly too late push to one of those all NBA teams. Yeah. I don't know, just his narrative, I don't know, oomph, wasn't there earlier in the season. It felt like they were a little bit disappointing. Since they've basically gotten over all their health and safety protocol issues they had on their team, they've been pretty solid. They've been amazing at home recently, and Trae Young keeps putting up these 30-point 10-assist nights. He had another one on Wednesday night, and now the Hawks are, you know, like they're kind of coming into their own. You know, like if you feel like teams are trying to avoid the Nets, I feel like I might be more scared of what Trae Young and the Hawks are doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know that I would in a series, but certainly in a play-in situation, like I would be trying to maneuver myself away from Trae Young and all these shooters that they have around him. You know, when Gallinari is cooking like he was tonight, Gallinari had 26 and 10 tonight. He looked great. Kevin Huerter is also kind of struggled lately, but he's a guy that you feel like could get 20 in a game. Like you just, yeah. You just want to avoid those. I would want to avoid this Hawks team.
Yeah. And also their pedigree just from last season, you know, they can put it together. You know, they can go on a run. There's like this play-in is so interesting. Like the Cavaliers just feel like everyone's forgotten about them. We've given up on them. I have given up on them. Like maybe prove me wrong, Cleveland. I've given up on them. And it's kind of like which one of those between the Nets and the Hawks ends up in that single game in that 9-10 game where, hey, listen, it's win or go home. And then you have these huge games. The Nets play the Cavs coming up in their next game. So that's going to be a massive one to see who gets to host that 7-8 game. And I know the Hawks still have designs of probably hoping to get into that so they're not in that have to win two games scenario. They have a little bit of leeway in the play-in.
Yeah, Brooklyn has Cleveland, which is a giant game, and then they play Indiana, which they will win that game because Indiana does not want to win that game. And then Atlanta has Miami and Houston. So one gimme, and like that Miami game is giant for the
Hawks. I don't even know which one's the gimme. Like Miami, it seems like they possibly could have the one seed in hand, but also like I think the Rockets, their tankathon spot is essentially secured. Jalen Green is on an unbelievable heater, becoming the first rookie since Allen Iverson to have five straight games where he scores 30 points. I'd be scared of like the Rockets in a situation like that.
Oh, come nothing on. They've lost for. Five in a row. Come on.
I don't know. I still think this is weird, man. It's April. Strange things happen. You have...
It is weirdo time.
You have There's guys no named Jamorco Pickett and what was this other one? The Pistons were playing guys I never heard of and the guys were all knocking down shots.
Yeah, it is definitely weirdo time. I mean, the Thunder beat a team last night playing six guys, two of them whom Thunder fans didn't even know who they were.
Yeah, so. By the way, Braxton Key was lighting it up for the Pistons tonight. No, yeah, I don't know. I know we don't have time to talk about your Thunder giving up. Was it a 26-4 run to end the game using guys they just signed off the street that day? Incredible stuff.
Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the Mavs. Let's just move on. Talk about the Mavs. The Mavs dismantle the Pistons 131-113. Luka with 26, 8, 14. And then Cade Cunningham with 25, 7, and 9. Just really fun performances from both of them. The Mavs move within half a game of Golden State, who's in the third spot in the West. Of this kind of grouping, we have Golden State, Dallas, Utah, Denver. It's kind of this, we don't know who's going to be in what spot yet, but is there anybody in that group that you like better than the other?
I think I like the Mavericks the most. I'm a little bit dubious of the Warriors, but you could fairly criticize me to say I've been dubious of them all year, even when they were playing really, really well. So maybe it's just confirmation bias that because of injury and whatever else reason, they haven't had a great second half of the year. But I feel like Dallas just knows who they are. They play great half-court defense, and they like to play slow, and so maybe their game is tailor-made for the playoffs. So I feel like when that team, when they're knocking shots down, you know, they're extremely tough to beat, and they can possibly beat anyone. But I guess the flip side of that is, all right, you know what you're going to get from Luka. Can a guy who has the ball in his hands that much, if teams have a week to game plan and focus on him, and then it shifts to, okay, let's make Spencer Dinwiddie beat us. Let's make Jalen Brunson beat us. Let's make Reggie Bullock beat us. Is Dorian Finney-Smith, he's had a great defensive year. He's had a good year shooting the basketball. Is he going to knock down his threes in the playoffs? And then it becomes more of a question mark. As far as like Utah, I mean, they're all up in the air. They've been the subject of a lot of discussion this week about the number of times Donovan Mitchell passes to Gobert, and their coach and team, they're all upset about this dialogue. I don't believe in the Nuggets unless the Nuggets are getting more help. Like, I love Nikola Jokic, yeah. but, like, I just don't think they can do it when it actually matters in the postseason. Because there's, like, their second-best player is Will Barton. I mean, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do there? Like, Jokic can't do everything, I don't think. So I think of those teams, you know, if you showed me a totally healthy Steph Curry and a totally healthy Draymond, I changed my tune possibly. But yeah, of those teams, I am most fearful or have the most respect right now for Dallas.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23. For a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Boston beats the Bulls to move up to the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, 117-94. Tatum with 16, 10, and 8. How do you feel about the Beantown boys right now?
Well, they're a little bit up and down since they lost Robert Williams. Everyone had basically gone on this entire, we'd all like written our theses of why the Celtics maybe are the favorite to come out of the East, and then with Time Lord going down, it's now kind of up in the air. I think they have as good a shot as maybe those other, like maybe among the top four teams. Like, it's kind of a shakeup for me as far as the Bucks or the Heat, and I might put the Celtics still over the Sixers, assuming the Celtics are getting Time Lord back for the second round. But like, Daniel Tice can fill in a pinch. Al Horford had a nice game against the Bulls. The Bulls are not the same caliber of a team as the Celtics are. And so I do feel like, you know, like, are the Celtics angling to get that 3 spot so they can play the Bulls? I think a lot of teams wouldn't mind having the 3 spot in the East. Although, I mean, sacrificing home court advantage in the second round, probably not worth it to just get that choice matchup with the Bulls in the first round. So maybe ignore all that. Yeah, I think the Celtics are quite good. And obviously, if they get fully healthy by the second round of the playoffs, I think they have as good a shot as anybody to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, you still have Milwaukee and the Sixers just half a game back of Boston. So this is far from done. And you have Boston-Milwaukee matching up what would be tonight if you're listening to this on Thursday. So huge, huge playoff implications still going on, which is great because we're a week away from this all being over, and it's just kind of cool for there still to be games that matter.
Yeah, and some of them on TNT don't matter. So sorry, Lakers, Warriors. I guess Warriors, you need to win. You're trying to hold off the Mavericks. Lakers, enjoy your vacation.
Right. Is LeBron going for the scoring title? Nope. Don't even talk about it. I'm not even going to let you talk about it.
No.
We're going to move on to these last two games where the Jazz beat the Oklahoma City Blue 137-101. And the full-strength Clippers destroy the Suns as they sit their stars. And that's going to do it for today's show. Point of Contention is next. Keith, send us out.
Ding, ding.